The place.
Oneofus.net.
The date.
June 28th.
The time.
All of it.
Wait, what?
That's right, on June 28th, starting at 12 noon, we'll be broadcasting for 12 hours. It's our first ever Oneofus.net Comic-Con Podathon fundraiser!
12 hours? We didn't agree to...
There will be special guests, prizes, and several of your favorite site personalities pushed to the edges of their sanity when geek inebriation meets sleep deprivation.
Funds received will go towards a One of Us meetup during Comic-Con, as well as an end-of-summer bash in celebration of our one-year anniversary.
I'm glad you've come around.
Well, what the hell else am I going to do all day?
That's the spirit.
Join us, won't you? Joyzy boys.
Walk like a man, talk like you've had something horrible done to your testicles.
I'm Chris.
JC.
I'm Bo.
Yes, we are looking at Clint Eastwood's latest film, which, you know,
involves no murder whatsoever.
Yes. Well,
not like horrible death murder, just kind of...
You know, the murder that comes without death.
Somebody kind of died, but
eh. It was a whimsical prank murder.
Yeah.
There was.
Like tickle murder. This is, of course, based on the Tony Award-winning musical Jersey Boys, and is, I'm just going to say, is proof positive why you should probably have to go to a special kind of school just to make musicals into film.
Yes.
Because Clint Eastwood saw this, must have watched. Yeah, I mean, assume he actually
watched.
Which
went is, to I mean, now it's a jukebox musical, which yeah. means that basically that it, you know, much like Mamma Mia, they took a single artist / group's catalog.
Yeah.
And that's all there. There's no original music in this. This is all the hits that made you love The Four Seasons and Frankie Valli. But they're in, if you see the stage show was amazingly popular, and they're presented very spectacularly, and the only time this movie ever does that is in during the fucking credits.
Yeah. I mean, like,
really awkwardly too.
By the context of movie musicals, Buckaroo Banzai is as much a musical.
Yeah, exactly.
As this is.
No, this is your standard rock biopic, and yeah. You know, it's right up there with Ray. It's right up there with you know, probably not as good as Walk the Line, but. You know, same territory.
Well, yeah,
you know,
in that, it's, like, it's odd they sold something that was decisively a musical and made it, like you said, into a more of a rock bio. And to be honest, not a terribly interesting one.
No, because it's about Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, and who fucking cares?
Right.
I mean, they were... Now, before the 60 and 70-year-olds in the audience start sending me angry letters, there's definitely, you know, there's plenty of merit to the band. They actually, you know, did some groundbreaking stuff in their own fucking way. But, I mean, you know, nobody's like, oh, poor Frankie Valli and his horrible heroin addiction or right. anything like that. There's no, like, little brother getting cut up in the chainsaw childhood inciting incident in this. It's a bunch of mooks from New Jersey who want to get famous.
That's kind of what I thought. Like, I didn't know much about the story, and I thought there was going to be kind of a scintillating, kind of dramatic story of, like, drug use or, like, maybe one dude's got a really strange prostitute addiction. Like, something, something. But no, it just turns out one guy was kind of a dick.
That's the word. Like, one guy is kind of a dick, the other guy is just kind of a pussy, quite frankly.
Yeah. And there's a little gambling problem to yeah, the tune yeah. of you know, $1 million.
And Christopher Walken comes in and is adorable. Yeah.
Christopher Walken is like, you know, I know inevitably I'm going to say the wrong thing and somebody's going to have me taken out. And Christopher Walken's the guy I want to do it.
Yeah.
He comes in and, hey, no hard feelings, but I'm going to have to whack you.
So, all right, kid, you know how it is.
You know how it is, kid.
Here they've actually gotten some of the actors from the Broadway
yeah, the,
play
the,
as well. Frankie
which
Valli.
They kind of have to because yeah. Frankie Valli is, I mean, he's well known for having this just power falsetto that, you know, like only people like Roy Orbison can sing in that high of a register. So it kind of narrows down your pool if you don't want to just have them dubbed. Although for this movie, they could have fucking done that.
True. Yeah. Well, they got John Lloyd Young, who is from there, to play it. And he does, I mean, he sounds just like him.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of surprised when you're going with some unknown actors and very little known actors, like Vincent Piazza plays Tommy DeVito, who's sort of like the best friend slash best enemy of Frankie Valli throughout the film. I mean, it's really their story.
This film
is their story.
It's the frenemy bit, yeah.
But he's like, you know, I mean, he was on Boardwalk Empire, but he's not like exactly marquee stars. There are no marquee stars in this except for Christopher Walken, who, like I said, just kind of shuffled. They kind of shuffle him in every once in a while.
It seems like Eastwood, Aaron, because Eastwood's he's a big music fan. You know, he's a musician himself.
Film about Charlie Parker was great.
Yeah, Bird's a great flick. You know, every now and then he'll, you know, he made a movie that was, you know, basically him playing Hank Williams, Hank Williams Sr., called Honky Tonk Man. He sneaks his own piano playing in. You know, music is something he loves and respects. He obviously went with people that actually could do what they're, you know, ostensibly doing on celluloid, is actually play the instruments, sit down and sing the songs. And, you know, you have to admire that on one term, but like I said, there's really nothing in this movie that makes me go like, well, thank God they got these guys to do this, because even the sound quality is not that great.
Yeah.
There were times that I was just like, wow, this really needs kind of a sweeping orchestral wall of sound to make me appreciate it like I would be appreciating it in a auditorium set up to listen to musicals in.
There's no transitions in the film either with music, which surprised me. Like, they don't really use it to, like, go from one place to the other, even when it jumps in time. I was a little confused. It felt kind of artless, quite frankly, the way it was put together.
Yeah, like, earlier you mentioned Mamma Mia, and I haven't seen that movie entirely. I've seen bits and pieces, but I know that transitioning from a stage play, like, they went to some really interesting and beautiful locations. That movie was very cinematic. This movie is pretty much the opposite of cinematic. You get the sense that Clint Eastwood shot this the way you would see it if you were sitting in the audience watching the play.
Right. Exactly.
There's just nothing cinematic about the way this was shot and presented. Yeah,
it feels more like a television movie more than anything, which is really shocking. But I'm starting to get to the point that I'm actually worried that maybe Clint Eastwood is a little senile.
I kind of had that thought too. I was like, I hope this isn't the direction we're going.
I hate even saying that out loud, because I really admire the man for, I mean, so many things in his life. He is an incredible guy.
He's the American auteur. I mean, he's right up there with like Woody Allen for me. He's someone who, you know, he works on his own terms and he consistently turns out good product. You know, I'm not going to go, you know, yes, Clint Eastwood, he's getting up in there. I don't think this is a question of him being senile. It's a stolid film. It doesn't throw you any fucking curveballs at all, you know, but it's workmanlike. There's nothing that made me go, why did he do that? But there's a number of things that maybe made me think, why didn't he do that? There are no real big chances taken with this movie. And, you know, that's all well and good, but from somebody with Eastwood's experience and talent, you know that he could have really done something with this that was a lot more than it ended up being.
Yeah, I was talking with Martin afterwards. I was like, you know, he must have seen Chicago, right? You know, you had to.
And that's it. There's you know, Chicago, Moulin Rouge, even reaching back to the classics. You know, maybe the only thing I can think of is he was just like, I'm not going to let that paint your wagon shit happen again. You guys are going to get up there and sing like the fucking band.
I'm not basing that my statement about Eastwood on just this movie. His capacity for being the director he was has been noticeably fading over a whole series of films. And it makes me wonder if maybe he's just, I mean, it takes a huge amount of attention and focus to be a film director. And he was one of the greatest there was. And I can't help but feel that maybe that focus just isn't there
anymore.
And
it's like, he's still churning out like a movie a year, right? Like, maybe you should kind of scale it back. And
right. Yeah. He's going to, you know, sooner or later, he's not going to have any choice about that. Yeah. I wanted to like this really bad. I mean, I'm not even the world's biggest fan of specifically Frankie Valli. I mean, I like a good deal of doo-wop in this period of music, but I wouldn't say he in particular was one of the people that stood out for me. I find the falsetto a little... Ugh.
Yeah.
but, you know, I went into this with the highest of hopes and really excited to see it. I love a good musical. We've all been hearing about this Broadway run and touring run and how great this is supposed to be. And admittedly, most of the women I talked to who came out of this who had seen it on Broadway were saying, no, I really liked it. It was very different from the Broadway version.
Yes, the Broadway version is, you know, it's spectacle. And that's what this... You know, the camera in this is very, very close to the ground. It you know, never really reaches above the subject matter at hand, which is like, hey, these are these four guys. They formed a band. This is what happened to them.
Yeah, no, and it's so straightforward, and would be fine if there was more of a story. Mm-hmm. This feels like a much smaller part. Like story wise of a regular rock biofilm, this is like 1/3 plot wise of any other different.
Yeah, once again, you need the guy who's like, you know, I fucked a girl in a hotel with a shark, and now I'm shooting heroin into my eyeballs.
Yeah,
I mean, woo!
When you get to the scenes, there's like maybe 3 minutes in this film of the crazy days, and Frankie Valli's not even part.
Not
of
even
it.
There. Yeah, he's like he's trying to hold his marriage together, which falls apart. Because he's on the road all the time, not because he's doing anything outre. I mean, you know, they kind of allude that, you know, after he and his wife, you know, more or less call it quits, he takes up with a girl, but that's it.
And it's just
one, and he like buys her an apartment and stays with her until she finally goes like, dude, your wife's right. You're on the road too fucking much.
it's interesting that the best rock. Like musicals have been ones about somebody who really was totally fucked up.
Sure.
You know, and Frankie Valli he's just boring, man. Like, and even there's a point in the film where he like basically throws all his friends under the bus to save, to help out the one friend who's been throwing them all
just
under
been a complete
the bus
dick. Yeah.
For years. And I'm just sitting there going, you know what? Fuck this guy.
Yeah, and I mean,
like, I know they're trying to make it like, oh, he's so nice. Like, he's fucking over everybody else by doing that.
There's a little bit of like, you know, well, he got me off the streets, and it's just like, you were studying to be a barber. It wasn't like you were like, you know, slinging drugs on the fucking corner,
right?
You know, fuck that guy.
Didn't feel like there was a dramatic arc to that.
There really wasn't. I mean, you know, they kind of try to present this, you know. Oh, we grew up hard in New Jersey, but it's like the Keystone Cops version of Goodfellas. It's like, you know, come on. Yeah. It's just like you were going home and eating spaghetti dinners with your mom and dad, who were still married to each other.
Yeah,
it wasn't that hard scrabble of a life.
Like, how hard was his life in Jersey? Nobody would get in trouble. Like, and cops wouldn't arrest him. They'd be like, go home.
Exactly. They were like, I know you, Frankie. You're supposed to be home by 11. Go home.
Yeah. He had it made in Jersey.
Like, you know? In the meantime, around the corner, Keith Richards is fucking two 13-year-old prostitutes.
Why aren't we filming that movie?
I mean, we should. Oh, well, we've got to wait until Keith dies, and let's face it, that's never going to happen.
It's going to be Futurama time before that happens. I'll be like, wait,
it's going to be the Keith Richards story, directed by Clint Eastwood's Head in a Jar.
It'll be the final sign of the apocalypse. Okay, today the news, Keith Richards died, and oh my God, the sky is turning blood red. What does that mean? I'm going to go with final thoughts here and just say that I found this movie with its 134-minute running time way longer than this story needs to be, to get to the point where I was just, like, itching to get out of the theater. Like, oh my God, when is this going to wrap up?
Yeah, you practically vaulted over the...
When the credits started, I was like,
the
wrong. It's like, I'm gone.
Later days.
It's like, I don't care if they're finally doing the one actual musical-style musical number in here during the credits. I don't give a shit anymore. It's not like something's going to happen in the final minute that'll make me go, you know what? I was viewing this film all wrong. I found this to be, like I said, really dull. Oh my God. And when they get to the point where they're older and put on old age makeup, it's like they just smack some pancake on
them. Yeah, it's pretty bad. It's just like, come on, Clint, you can afford better than this.
It just felt like nobody was trying. It really did. I mean, credit to these actors. They are trying, but they're being pushed to do everything with a sort of exaggerated tone that makes them, that would be a perfect if it was filmed as a musical, but as a drama, the way they
filmed it. Well, and a lot of the guys come from a musical theater background, so, you know, that's their wheelhouse.
I found the whole thing really dissatisfying, and I am actually going to give it I'll give it 5 out of 10 Clint Eastwood movies that aren't so great, and let's hope that he gets back on
top. he should get back on the horse. Get back on the pale horse, as it will.
Yeah. What about you, Bo?
Well, I wasn't as bored as all that. This is a straight linear history of a band, and I'm somewhat fascinated with that era of American music. There was enough to kind of keep me engaged, but nothing at any point really ever got me excited, including the songs, which frankly, you know, if I want to hear these songs, I'll go listen to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons perform them. There's no reason for me to listen to them on the soundtrack or go to this, you know, fairly simplistic movie to experience it. I will say I like the actors. I thought they did a good job I thought they really worked with what they were given. I thought their characterization was excellent. Unfortunately it falls short because the story's just kind of thin because not much happened to this band. Sorry.
We've just run out of the stories to tell.
Yeah, we've run out of stories to tell.
Here's a story about a nice guy. Hey, really knew a lot wrong. Had a life, a career, you know, he is nice, some kids.
Next time, do some more heroin. And I give it 2 out of 5 E above high C's.
JC?
So in much the same way that I think people kind of have a cynical view about comic book movies and that there's so many of them and they all kind of seem the same, with musical biopics, I can kind of see that. They all kind of start out, I'm nobody, I'm famous, it all fell apart, and now I'm old and or dead. And so, because I know we have the James Brown one coming up in a few weeks.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm going to watch it, but I imagine it's going to be a lot of that. This one, it's just completely lacking in any kind of cinematic value. I get the sense that...
Wow.
well, that's strong words indeed.
Yeah, I mean, I just get the sense that I saw what I could have seen if I was sitting in the audience watching the stage play. And I feel like I probably would have been more impressed watching the stage play knowing the limitations there.
Yeah, because the stage mechanics.
Yeah, because this being a film, there's virtually no limitations. I did, however, is Vincent Piazza, the guy who played Tommy. I thought the guy who played Tommy was really good. That might have just been me, but every time he was kind of on screen, it did kind of reel me back in a little bit, because I thought he was great, even though he was kind of a dick. but,
he
I mean, yeah.
He was royally a dick, let's say it. He was Tommy Dick DeVito.
Yeah. But, I mean, in the end, kind of with you, and that just kind of gave me a dissatisfied feeling. I think there would have been an interesting story had somebody done more heroin or banged some more prostitutes.
that tends to be true across the board.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give this 4 out of 10 prostitutes that somebody should have banged.
You know, I wonder if you could find some sort of equation where, like, you know, like, how much better movies would be if they had prostitutes getting banged and shared in heroin?
It's underage prostitutes divided by heroin abscesses multiplied by the amount of vomit you aspirate.
Sure, that sounds fair. Yeah. Now let's apply this equation to the classics. Casablanca, Gone with the Wind.
And dude, those guys knew how to party. Don't fool yourself.